I'm going to start off by saying, or telling you a story. And so this story that I want to share is that there was one day a boy and his father living in the same house. And then one day, the boy was like, I don't want to be in the house anymore. Like, I just want to go outside. I want to do things my own way. I want to go and just do something a bit different than my normal day-to-day that I'm busy with my dad. And so this boy started going out, doing things outside of his father's house, in the town. And slowly but surely, the father realized, but the son is coming back home later and later. And the dad was getting worried. Like, why is my son only coming back later and later every time? But then eventually one day, what happened is the son went away. And he never returned. Because friends started calling him in. Friends started calling him closer. Bad choices started creeping in on him. It's like, no, I'd rather want to do that than go home. And days went by and the son never returned. The father was sitting every night, waiting outside, waiting. The son never just came home. And it came to a certain point when the father started realizing the son one day will come home, but I don't know when. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the porch light on so that the day when he comes back, he will know where his house is. He will know where to come instead of just wandering alone all in the dark. And even the neighbors started thinking, yo, that porch light is on. The son has been gone for such a long time. I don't know if he's coming back. But the father kept the porch light on. And then one night, that son decided to come home. And as he was walking through the town streets, he saw the light. And as he was seeing the light, he knew, this is the place where I need to go. He knew that that is his house. Despite the shame that he was feeling, despite everything that has happened in the last while, he knew that that is the place where he needs to go. That is his home. And it wasn't just, I can't do this life anymore, I'm giving up. It was a sense of, I can go home, because when I go home, I know that my father would be waiting. And so deep down, the son knew in his heart that the father is waiting for him. And even in the father's heart, deep down he knew, one day my son will return. And he will come back. But I'm going to wait and wait and wait until he decides to come back to me. And so, why am I sharing the stories? Because a lot of the times, that's us. We run away from our father. And I'm not just speaking about our earthly fathers. I'm speaking about our heavenly father. We do something we regret. We make bad choices. We stop reading our Bible. We stop praying. We stop worshiping. And all of a sudden, bad choices, bad friendships, shame, all of it starts creeping in. And what we do is we start drifting away from home. We start drifting away from the Father's heart. And I want to encourage us tonight in the process of how do we actually go from a place of where instead of running away, instead of drifting away from the Father, how can we drift towards Him? How can we come closer to Him that when the moments come, when there's bad choices, bad friends, shame, whatever it might be, hurt. Some of you might have lost friends or loved ones, and it hurts. And a lot of the times that hurt can keep us from drawing back to God. But it's God's love that actually draws us in. And so I wanted to show you an illustration, but unfortunately, I I don't have money to get what I want to do. But I'm going to explain it to you. So if you have two big magnets, okay? Let's use... Can I get your... Where's your phone? Can I get that phone? Oh, yes, that is... Sorry, I realized my phone's recording. So let's say... Okay, these are the ports where the jacks come in to charge your phone, okay? So now what's happening is that on a magnet, you get two different poles. You get a north pole, not the north pole. You get a north and a south, okay? And so what happens is when a north and a north come together, they start pushing one another away. And they just can't get close. They don't pull one another closer. They just push one another away. Okay? And when we're going to turn it around and it's a south and a south, the same thing starts happening. You try to push it together, but it just won't stick together. It just doesn't come together. It just starts pushing and pushing away. But when you turn it and you go from north to south or south to north, when you bring it closer, as soon as you bring it a bit too close, it's not like you're trying to push it. It's like, poops, and it's there. It just draws in. It just comes closer. And my thing that I want to share with you is that when we look at the two magnets, okay? Pretend those were magnets. Okay, work with me here. That's why it's an illustration, but it would have been an expensive one. And so... a north and a north repels, a south repels. But north to south, they draw in. They come closer. And it's not like a sense of, it's a slow process. No, as soon as you get to a certain point, it's like instant. It like almost in a sense rushes to get to one another. And so now you need to work with me and pretend that you are seeing this in your mind. Let's say God, in this moment, north, is God wants our hearts. Okay? That's His north. Our north is we are full of pride and we don't actually need it. And so now what happens is you go to church, you go to community, or He's calling you, not on a phone call, just like He's drawing you. You can, in a sense, like people are sharing the gospel with you. People are trying to share Jesus to you, like, hey, can I pray for you? Can I read scripture to you? Whatever it might be, God is calling. But now, because I don't need Him, it's God calling with His north, you pushing away with your north. And so now what's happening, because of my pride, because of I don't need Jesus, the more God is calling, the more I start pushing away. And so that north just keeps on coming closer, but my north is too strong, so I'm just pushing away now. And so I just don't get to a place where I'm actually closing in on God and just getting to know Him more and getting to know Him deeper. But now on the other side, if we go to the south, God hates sin. So the south is God hates sin. My south is I love sin. I want to keep on sinning. Like, it's okay if I sleep around. It's okay if I lie. It's okay if I cheat. Whatever it is, it's okay. Because why do I need to care if I sin? I like my sin. I'm comfortable in my sin. And so now what's happening is, as God is still drawing us closer, because He hates sin, what's happening is we're pushing ourselves away from God because we deliberately want to sin. We deliberately want to keep living in our sin. And so now it's as if it's just pushing. We just can't get close. Maybe we want to, but you just can't get close because that thing is just pushing away and pushing away. Because it keeps us from drawing into Him. But now imagine this. God's north was, I want your heart. Okay? Our south is, I want to sin. And I want to keep on sin. But imagine if our south would turn into a place of, I don't want to sin. I want to bring myself before God and I want to live for Him. And I no longer want to sin. I no longer want to do the things that the world wants me to do.
as we repent, as we do the things that God has called us to do, He wants more of our hearts. And we stop sinning. We say, Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. I repent. We just start connecting. We just start building a deeper relationship and a deeper connection. Because we are no longer trying to push away and say, I don't need Him. We are now actually saying, Lord, I need You. And I want to draw closer to You. Help me. And so with that south and that north, we start pushing into God instead of pulling away from Him. And I want to read a scripture in Psalm 51 verse 17. It says this, the sacrifice you desire, and it's speaking about God. David is speaking to God and he's saying, the sacrifice that you, God, desire, you will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. And our heart sometimes is broken. Our hearts is full of shame. But when we say, Lord, please forgive me and help me, draw me in, grab me and pull me closer. He loves it when we do that. And He says, come to me, my child. Stop running away. Come to me. I'm trying to draw you in. I'm calling you close. I'm wanting to set you free of your sin. I don't want you to live in your sin. So come closer. And so when we repent, when we give our brokenness to Jesus, it's so much easier for us to come closer. But just because it becomes easier doesn't mean it's still not difficult. It will always remain difficult to draw close to Jesus because the enemy is right at hand and he wants to draw us away from Jesus. But we want to get closer, and so we need to bring our broken hearts before Him. The shame, the guilt, everything that we've done, we need to bring it before Him. And say, Father, forgive me. Help me. Let me come close to You. And as we do that, we start drawing closer to the Father. And so one of the points that I want to make is that, and this is the thing that most of us as Christians, as human beings do in this world. If you look at a sports team, what is the thing and the reason for someone supporting a team? It's because they're doing well. Their performance is on top level. They're winning World Cups. They're winning the international tours. They're winning everything that they're doing. They're winning. So it's based on performance. And that's how we support them. And so now we've come to this mentality as Christians that actually, no, everything that I do is performance driven. How good my marks are. How good my driving skills are. How good my work environment is. How much I'm getting paid. How good I am in sport. If I don't get Northwest Province, I'm not okay. If I don't get international approval, South African national approval for my sports team, I'm not okay. And we start going on this performance mentality. And what we do in our Christianity, we start bringing that with us when it comes to God. God, if I am only on the worship band, I will be close to You. God, if I'm the one praying the loudest, I will be close to You. God, if I'm the one reading the most scripture, I will be close to You. God, if I'm the one preaching, standing in front, then I will be close to You. And it's the lies over the years that have been creeping into the church is that it's about a performance mentality when it comes to living our life for Jesus. We're not living for Him. We're living to be seen. We're living to be the best. And I'm not saying living to be the best is like wrong. But there's a measure of where we do it because we want to get seen. We do it so we receive the approval from people and the approval from God. And I want to say this. We think we need to impress, and we think we need to be good. But can I just break that thing down for a little moment? This is what Scripture teaches me. Luke 18 verse 19. Okay? And some of you, this might come to a shock. And Jesus said to him. Okay, so this is now Jesus saying to another individual. Why do you call me good? Jesus, the one who is perfect, the one who has no sin, the one who has done nothing wrong, he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So Jesus is saying, no one is good except God alone. But we as humans, we as Christians, we think, no, we're good. If only I do this, I will go to heaven. If only I do this, I will be seen by God or by my peers or by the people around me. Like, no. We need to live for him. No one is good except God. That is what the scripture teaches me. But it's when we bring our brokenness and our imperfections to him, he starts healing. And some of the things might look good. And it might look impressive or impressive. But I'm no longer doing it to show people that I'm impressive. I'm no longer doing it because I want to show people that I'm good. I'm doing it for the one who's called me. The one who is good. God, my Father in heaven. Because I'm now no longer living for people or for myself. I'm living for him. And so we step out of a place of wanting to perform to please people and to please Jesus. We're going to a place, Father, I just want to love you. And as I love you, I start looking more like you. As I love you, I become more like you. And that's all I want. If people come to me and say, man, you look so much like Jesus. I say, thanks be glory to God. Because he's the one who makes me more like him. Because I can't do it on my own. Doesn't matter how impressive I am. Doesn't matter how good I try to be. I cannot do it without him. And so we drift away from the performance mentality. We start drifting towards his heart and say, Father, I want to do what you do. Jesus says, I will only do what I see the Father is doing. And so our response is, man, may we do what Jesus has done. May we do what he's calling us to do. Walking away from sin. Walking away from trying to be the best all the time. And saying, God, I want to be the one person that you have called me to be. Because none of us are the same. We all are different. But he's called us, each and every one of us, for a specific reason. I'm not supposed to be Elise. Elise is not supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be me and she's supposed to be her. So God has called us for that moment to be who he has called us to be. And the next point I want to make is that I don't know if you've heard the saying about respect is earned and not given. So I don't want to focus on the respect part. But what I do want to focus on is that some of us in our lives have come to this place of love is not earned. It's actually given free. I don't have to earn your love. You don't need to earn my love. Actually, I need to give it free. It's not you give me a lot of gifts, so I'm going to choose to love you. Or you always do something nice to me. You always compliment me, so I'm going to love you. No. I love you even if you come to me and say, I hate you. I love you even if you come to me and say, you're stupid. You don't belong here. You're worthless. I'm going to choose to love you because that is what God has called me to do. That is what he's doing to me. Because every time I decide to sin, instead of following his voice and obeying him, he can say, Enrico, I don't love you because you are sinning. I don't love you because you are doing this. And if that is the case, none of us would be loved by God. Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so he says now, no. I'm not going to love you because of your action. I'm not going to love you because of what you do. I'm going to love you because you're my son. I'm going to love you because you're my daughter. I'm not going to give you my love because you've earned it. I'm going to give my love freely because actually you haven't earned it. But without my love, cannot come to me. Without my love, you cannot see me as God the Father. And so I want to say, love is sacrificial and sometimes it's filled with action. And so now I've said, but action doesn't earn love. Yes. But because we love and because He loved, there's action involved. And so where do we see this? We see this in John 15, 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you know that you are called a friend of Jesus? And so He's laid His life down for you and me. Not because we earned His love. Not because it was a good idea. Because He loved us so much, He said, Father, I'm willing to do whatever it takes for the people. And God said to Him, you are going to die for them. Greater love is no one than this, that He would lay down His life for His sisters. We are called His friends because He loves us so much. And He's just calling us in and saying, just love me. Don't try to impress me. Don't try to do the best you can. Man, just love me. Because as you love me, you're going to start to look more like me. As you love me, you're going to start wanting to be more like me. So I want to say, the love that we receive from God, the condition to that is that we believe in Him, we will follow Him, and that we love Him back. That's the condition. That we will believe and follow Him and love Him back. That's what He wants. That's what He desires of us, that we would love His heart and that we will get to know His heart. I want to share one more scripture with us, is that in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, it says, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's speaking about this, and he says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers, each and every one of us that believes in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, okay? Not if you've heard about Him, not if you've just thought, okay, maybe it's a good idea. It's, no. Those who believe in Him, those who say that He is Lord of their lives. Paul says this to Timothy, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart. And so it's not a heart that says, Lord, I love You if You give me this. I love You if this or this or that. It's not, Lord, I will love You. Full stop. Nothing else. Lord, I would love You. And then it says, a clear conscience. God, I want to clear my conscience. I want to get rid of sin. I want to get rid of the things of this world. The thinking of, You are not my God. You are not the one that I'm going to live for because of this or that. He says, no, with a clear conscience. And the last thing He says, and with a genuine faith. A faith that trusts. A faith that says, doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to trust You. Lord, I have no finances. I'm going to put my faith in You, Jesus, that You will make a way. Lord, I have no friends. I'm going to trust and have faith that You will make a way. Lord, I have no church family. Lord, I'm going to trust that You will make it. I'm not going to try to do it on my own. I'm not going to try to make sure that it does happen. It's like, no, Lord, I trust. I have faith that You will do what You set out for me and my life. And so what the Father gives us, everything. Everything that our hearts desire according to His will. If we desire it and we ask God, Lord, I desire this, would You give it? If it is in His will, He will freely give it. And sometimes He teaches us. Because I love You so much, I'm not going to give it to You. Because if I give it to You now, you might not appreciate it. If I give it to you now, you might abuse it. So I'm going to hold it back. Would you trust me? Would you have faith in me that I know what is the right time? Or sometimes I'm not going to give it to you at all, because actually that thing's going to kill you. That thing is going to draw you away from me and not bring you in. So God wants us to draw close. And it's about having faith in Him. It's about loving Him and saying, Father, I give myself to You. I repent of my sin. I want to live for You. And so we start seeing more of God's love in our lives. And so we start loving Him more, because now it's no longer, Lord, I love because I'm getting. Now it's becoming to a place of, Lord, I just love. I don't care what I get from this. I don't care how it feels. I don't care what someone does. I want to love You just because I want to love You. Because You've given up everything. And so I'm not going to share the story now, but some of you heard the story in the beginning about the son coming back home. And some of you have heard the story about the prodigal son returning back home and the father accepting him with open arms. And if you haven't heard that story or read that story, I want to encourage you. Go to Google or ChatGPT or whatever and say prodigal son, and it will give you the full story. But the part of the father is that the father didn't care about the laws, the things that was going to be like. If people see me running, they're going to think a bunch of different things. No, no, no. He cared about, man, I want to go and love my son. Because the son ran away, just like the story I was sharing. Son ran away, but when the son came back, the father wasn't, I don't think I'm going to accept it. No, no, no. The robes were ready. The rings were ready. Everything that was perfect was waiting for his return. And when he saw him, he didn't just wait and think, "Ah, I'm going to wait a little bit until he gets closer." No, no. As soon as he started seeing him, he started running because he loved his son so much. Don't care what you did. I'm going to run and I'm going to embrace you. I love you because you are my son. And so I want to say today that some of us, we've run away. For some of us, we've actually drifted away from Jesus. And He's not there standing and waiting and saying, okay, if you come, I'm going to give you a hiding. No, no, He's standing and waiting for you to come in, and He's going to run to you. He's going to hug you. He's going to kiss you. He's going to do all the awkward things that you don't want to receive at that very moment. Because He loves you so much that He's willing to do anything for you.